Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everybody doing after our big week? After our big, exciting week?
I honestly don't, like, I keep being like, what's going on with me and my body? And it's like, I'm having a lot of, like, cortisol reactions. Like, isn't that the stress hormone?
Could be. Yeah, it is.
It's very weird because it's like I was so stressed out beforehand, so now I have kind of like a euphoria slash exhaustion slash like I don't know what day of the week it is. Plus, I mean, the holidays and whatever. Right. It's been weird.
Well, because
it's a liminal time anyways.
We have been awaiting the moment of this interview for a little while. Like, maybe some of you thought this month, like, wow, they are not doing their, I mean, they're not doing their best work. These aren't the greatest podcasts I've ever heard. I mean, partly it was a little bit, I will say a little bit of stress about what was going to happen to us. And I'm sorry to say that because they're just nice, normal men. Hey, they're nice, normal men.
They were really nice. They, like, were perfectly pleasant and could not have gone better. I'm very happy with how the interview went. But holy shit. That was a lot of stress. I don't know how people who interview celebrities regularly do it.
Yeah.
I guess the more you do it, the less every individual interview matters. But we really didn't want it to go bad because then we might have had to leave wrestling forever.
Yeah.
So. That is what one of my brothers said to me. I reviewed the experience. My brother created a little app for reviews, so I reviewed it just as an experience. And I was like, you know, interviewing the Young Bucks, it was like exhilarating in its way, but too stressful to get a full 5-star. So I gave it 4 stars.
Nice.
And my brother was like, oh, probably, like, once you do a little few more of them, it'll be really, you know, much more 5-star experience. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're the go-to podcast for interviewing wrestlers, probably it'll be fine.
Yeah. Some of our beloved listeners have been saying things like, who are you going to get next? No one.
Yeah. Get Swerve on there. No, that's not...
I don't think your girls are committing to that. Let's put it that way. I felt excited about some of the stuff that we got to ask.
Yeah.
I felt enlightened by some of the stuff we learned.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super satisfying because nobody ever asked those kind of questions really where we can see them at least or read them, hear them. Yeah. And like even stuff where it's like, I know they have to pivot a lot because of like injuries and stuff, but I didn't think about like, oh, NXT did something similar like the same night or like the network doesn't want you doing properties that they don't own. It's like, oh yeah, that makes tons of sense. But then I kind of came out of it like it's a miracle that booking is ever anything resembling good.
I know. Yeah, I had that thought too when they were talking about like how many times they've had to change their plans for like the EVP stuff or even like how do you plan your character arc if you keep thinking you're about to lose the belt and then you keep it like whether or not you hold the belts has a significant like impact, especially like on a character like the EVP gimmick.
And so. How you're trying to like pace your story is just like good
luck. And I think we've always like felt like, oh yeah, I get that sometimes they think they're going to do something and then they won't be able to do it. And that's why we end up seeing like weird pacing or you're getting kind of the same beat over and over again. But I hadn't appreciated like just how intense the edging can be sometimes that you're like, well... It's kind of amazing that, you know, it's like when best friends were kind of teasing a breakup for like a year and we just get like, I'm stressed. I'm nervous. Like, it feels off, but nothing's ever coming to anything. It's like, yeah, I guess maybe could have been some things changed.
Yeah. Could have been the network being like, people want to see the best friends together. You can't do it.
And now those network people should be listened to.
That's right.
Now, I will say, Anne, I do want to give you credit for being the only one among us strong enough and in control of herself enough to tell Matt Jackson that his body is beautiful, while Lee and I think we're
looks on your guys' faces were very
how we could possibly express like you have the most perfect body of any man. I'm so startled and concerned that you apparently didn't know that.
Everyone looked like baffled and like sort of deer in headlights. Like, wait, this can't happen. But how do I tell this nice, normal man to his face that he has a beautiful body?
Right.
Like, how can I use the phrase juicy body right now? Or no, I can't.
I have said, like, so many repulsively horny things about yeah. how I feel about Matt Jackson's body. And all of them were just flowing through my mind as I looked at this man in his eyes. And I was like, I don't have a normal thing that I can say to you. Sir, you should, like, the idea that he might not take off his shirt if he doesn't feel good. Buddy, you are the peak of male excellence. Doesn't
feel good.
Yeah. Everyone should be looking like you. You are the...
It was...
What?
It was really like, you've been working out. What do you mean? Not too much, right? Like, you're keeping it pretty much the same, right?
We like the one you have. It was an eventuality that I just hadn't been prepared for. No. There's many men we could have interviewed, and I would have been like, and I think body image issues could easily come up. I wasn't prepared for it to come up in this interview, and I immediately thought, like, wow, the issues with body image in wrestling go deeper than I ever suspected. We have got a big, big mess on our hands. We have to do something about this. I was willing to let it go before, but now if Jackson doesn't know he has a perfect body, stop. Intervention time.
I just kept thinking of that Kevin Durant tweet where he was like, what are we doing to our beautiful queens? Matt Jackson doesn't know he's beautiful. What are we doing to our beautiful
queens? I don't know. I hope that Anne got through to him a little when she said that his body was a gift.
The fact that I managed to say, well, I think you guys always look great, was like, honestly, a miracle from God.
It was, I couldn't have been more grateful in the moment. Yeah. I had tried out so many responses in my mind and discarded all of them.
And you just get like you so many points on the board for
being
the most socially apt of the three of us. Because in like chit chat time, also me and Allie were like floundering, and you went,
I thought I was going to do so good too, and I locked
up. We literally planned that question for chit chat time, and then Allie was like, "So here's our business." I was like, "Oh, poor Allie."
I got nervous.
It was a nerve wracking time.
But you know what? We've always said we're a three-legged stool, and I think each of us showed up as a leg that day, and I do think that we could not have gotten through without three strong legs, and we did it.
We did it.
And that is why we're so lucky as to have been aggregated by Fightful this week. God bless.
This has been absolutely the craziest experience. It's wild to see, like, publications that, like, are just, like, our podcast was mentioned on, like, Sports Illustrated. Like,
that's crazy.
That's weird. I don't know about that. It's funny to, I think it's funny to get aggregated too, though. Like, I just keep being like, oh, yeah, this is our hobby. This is just our hobby podcast. Right. And you're making money off it? Well, I guess. I don't think you should, but we don't make money off it. So.
Right before we came on here, Fightful aggregated something about Orange Cassidy that came from our stunning question. Tell us something nice about the best friends, which I loved.
Many, many, many thanked us for that question. Some have derided us, but many have thanked us for our thoughtful interviewing, which we did try really hard at. So
we did try really hard at.
Thank you for your support.
We prepped. It was Allie and I read a lot of Terry Gross interview tips.
We read Terry Gross. We had a wild night in Kentucky.
Yeah, Allie has visited me and Leah both in this past, Christmas.
I'm on the road, guys.
Yeah.
We had a wild night in Kentucky where for some reason we went out to dinner and we're like, hey, we don't understand the Montreal Screwjob. Let's get down to, and we're both saying like, I've read the Wikipedia like 5 times. I don't know what happened. So we really got down to business together at dinner. And
I
we
think
read,
we understand it now.
Because we understand it now.
And then big brains.
Well, just cut all of this. The whole point is just that we read Terry interviewing Brett, I believe. I think.
Yep. She interviewed Bret Hart. Yep.
And it was a weird
interview.
We read
the whole transcript, and it was a weird interview.
For sure.
Didn't give us a lot of tips.
Well, anyway, we interviewed the Young Bucks. That was on, Saturday. Day was that? Saturday, last Saturday. And you guys know what happened last Saturday. It was World's End. So we just had to leave interviewing the Young Bucks and be like, guess I'm just going to watch the pay-per-view world's end now. But so we didn't really do a great job at that.
No. I'd say an all-time bad job from me.
Yeah.
Pretty bad job.
For sure. Yeah. Plus, you guys were watching in person with Sarah and her sister, so you were not super online. So no. I was just, like, typing alone. I was like, I don't like this experience.
We were spending a lot of the show getting aftercare, like, making people tell us, like, yeah, you were so normal when you said that in your interview.
Yeah.
No one's going to be mean about that.
Also, I was cross-faded. I was really high and really drunk at the same time.
She tried to drink a goblet full of limoncello.
I did, and I got yelled at about it. Everyone just kept being like, it's a sipping liquid. And I was like, okay. Well,
I don't think anyone called it a sipping liquid.
Megan did.
Like, she said liquid?
Yeah. That struck me as, like, very funny. I don't know.
It is very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
People are going to love this part of our podcast.
Yeah, I know. Like, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, we can.
It's our podcast. But, yeah, World's End, I really processed pretty badly because all I kept thinking about was like, I wonder how normal that was. And so we really need every single person who reached out to us to be like, you sounded really normal, you sounded civilized, I didn't hear you slobbering, I didn't hear any kind of like heavy breathing, you guys did great. I really needed that.
Equally, thank you to everyone who reached out and said we sounded normal, but also thank you to King of the North for saying you guys stayed freaks. And that is the line that we tried to walk. You must be yourself, just not to the degree that some maybe used to. You know? So thank you. Okay, any overall thoughts on World's End, the pay-per-view that we didn't process well?
Weird. Looking back at the card, I was like, yeah, I don't care about most of this, so I guess that also contributed to me not processing a lot of it.
It's the second year in a row that World's End is just, like, looking at the card, I'm not interested, and then the actual execution wasn't that interesting.
Like, yeah, it was fine. I wasn't, like, mad. It was just, like, I had a real hard time focusing because I kept being, like, remember how we interviewed the Young Bucks like three hours ago?
That was part of our, but I also felt like it was reasonable to say, like, is this the note we're ending the year on?
Yeah.
It's the end of the whole year. This is how we chose to go out.
No one wants to show up that week between Christmas and New Year's.
Like, nobody wants to work this week. Well, let's get into the storylines and perhaps I'm excited to find out what all of us are able to produce about the events of this week. So the Continental Classic wrapped up at World's End. So we had Ospreay versus Fletcher, which Ospreay won, Ricochet versus Okada, which Okada won, and then we had Ospreay Okada Finals, which Okada won, and he retains the Continental Classic belt that he won not from the Continental Classic. He won it off someone this year.
Yeah.
Eddie. Oh, God.
I miss Eddie so much. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, when Eddie won the Connie, now that was some emotions. I had some feelings about that.
Last year's Connie was so good.
I know.
Last year's Connie was so good. Well, let's start. We'll talk about Ospreay Fletcher. So that was the opening match of the pay-per-view. It was, I thought, a really good match. I had a great time.
Yeah, they're really, really good wrestlers. And I would like, I could tell that they were like really like putting their all into it. I just wish that like they had done like a little bit more promoing about each other so that like if I had been like scripting the promos, it should have felt like the whole Continental Classic, they were like scrambling to get at each other. They wanted it so bad. They were dying for this moment. They're both working really hard to get there so that they get their hands back on each other. But it was kind of a little bit disjointed, but the match itself was still really good. I think that they have great in-ring chemistry and they're both really good wrestlers, and the bleeding was great, but.
Yeah, the bleeding was incredible, but yeah, I know. I feel like I want to give them credit for being some of the few people who like tried at telling a story in the Continental Classic, but I didn't end up feeling very invested in it, unfortunately.
I think ultimately, and this is like you just get attached to your own idea of how someone should be acting, But I was like, I want to see Osprey distraught. I want to see that man emotionally broken. I want to see him sobbing and crying mm-hmm. and being like, I had a friend and I thought I could trust him forever and I couldn't trust him forever and my life is falling down around my ears. And I like even with stuff when he was being like, Darby, we could be in the foxhole. I'm like, you should be weeping as you say this. She'd be like, please let me be in the foxhole with you. I'm so alone. And Darby's like, don't care. Absolutely don't care. See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So. I agree. There should be a thing where he's like, you know, like I've always had friends at my back. I've always had friends and now I'm alone and I don't know what to do about it. And Ricochet, can you just be like slot back in? And Ricochet's like, no.
Ricochet's decided to become a heel. So he's bullying Osprey. Let's get a little of that. Osprey, I really like you. Okay. I want you to be pathetic. I think you need a little turn in the pathetic machine.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So I work on that. But he did, instead of being pathetic, he had a really beautiful crimson mask. And that was cool, too, I will say.
It was killer. One of the best ones I've seen.
Yeah, amazing. And he knew it, too, because then he did a backstage segment with Renee after the match, still covered in blood, you know, promising to beat
Okada.
He was,
like, shaking his head. And it was like, blood drops are going to be flying on to Renee. Like, be careful, buddy. I'm sure that outfit is nice.
If you're backstage at AEW, you just gotta accept it's time to fluid bond. You're gonna be fluid bonding and also need a dry cleaner.
Yeah, I think Renee has talked about all the blood stains they've left on hotel pillows necessary to Mox. So you know.
Okay, so then next up we had Ricochet versus Okada. I would not say that this match was especially noteworthy. Agree?
Yeah.
But after Ricochet lost, Swerve came out to taunt him, and they had a whole segment where Swerve was being like, seems like someone did not win the Continental Classic. and it seems like he sucks and he's you. And he had Prince Nana out distributing toilet paper to the crowd. Mm-hmm. And then he said, we're going to wish Ricochet a happy new year on the count of three, one, two, three. And everyone threw the toilet paper. And on to Ricochet. And the thing that I thought was noteworthy was this looked really good, which I didn't expect it to.
It looked incredible. It went great. I was like, wow, you really couldn't control how that was going to go, but it went perfect.
Well, I was like, am I being worked? Did they like have plants in the crowd that like were thrown, like knew exactly how to throw it? Because there was like two toilet paper rolls that curled around Ricochet that it just looked so good. And I was like, just random wrestling fans have that kind of aim.
I love the idea of them having like all the undercard wrestlers are backstage practicing their toilet paper trick shots to make sure they can get. But I think it must have just, I don't know, maybe I am getting worked. I thought it must have just been random fans. And maybe I'm just underestimating how good like toilet paper always looks when you throw it. It went great. The whole thing went great. And I thought you could see there was a moment on Swerve's face where I think you could kind of see him being like, "Ooh, that worked."
Yeah, I thought so too.
So I guess we'll do this now because I didn't put it somewhere else. So the Ricochet Swerve stuff continued this week on Dynamite because Swerve, Roddy, and Jay White had a three-way match for the number one spot in an upcoming Casino Gauntlet match. And Jay White won partly because Ricochet was hiding in the crowd and he popped out holding a pair of dressmaker shears. And,
and I'm sure that's what he called them. Yeah.
I think I'm sure. Well, I looked at them and I said, those look nice. That looks like nice quality. They probably weren't. They're probably bad quality. But and he was, so he's attacking Swerve with the shears and, you know, people are, it's hard to win a match under those conditions. I think you can all understand. And so Ricochet, now, okay, let's talk about Ricochet's look and vibe. Can I get some cake? Can I get someone to weigh in?
He was wearing big glasses with like wire rim glasses. He was wearing a dress shirt, which got blood all over it. So he looked very American Psycho in a way that I really liked.
Yeah, that was fun.
He's been being a bad boy and cheating quite a bit. And of course, once you're hitting someone with dressmaker shears, you know, you're not a good guy. But okay, so what happened though at the end of this was that the Undisputed Kingdom came out to save Swerve. can any of us explain? Roddy was in the match. Roddy is in the Undisputed Kingdom. Roddy was not getting beaten up. Jay White had left. Looking honestly kind of cute. Like, I was like, that would be the freakiest girl in my grade, and I think I would be pretty into her. I had a kind of a moment where I was looking at his hair, and I was like, wow, I have a crush on her.
Yeah, no, I couldn't explain anything that was happening because, like, the Undisputed Kingdom came running out as if, like, they were protecting Roddy, but Roddy wasn't even in the ring while the beatdown was happening. So
I think he might have gone to get them or something. I don't. I think he got in the ring with them.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe we missed a segment where the Undisputed Kingdom are in a fight with Ricochet. Oh.
It's possible.
I don't think so, because they were all MJF focused until 35 seconds ago. So
was it just supposed to establish that them as faces, which they're not?
It might have.
Right, that's crazy. Not, but hey, yeah. That's insane.
It's so insane. Although I think technically they think they have been this whole time. So
I know they think they have been, but it's like
I know it's insane. Yeah, footage not found. Footage not found.
Yeah, that's not adding up. Now, did you guys like? Did you like when Jay White won this match? Did you like when he mounted Roddy?
It was
Roddy
crazy because to it win was it? Like if he did mount Roddy, yeah. But it wasn't quite like I want to fuck him. It was like a dog mounting for dominance.
Yeah, it was like his body has instincts his mind don't know about. You know, it's like he's doing it and then afterwards he's like, God, what was that? Who can never be sure? Just felt right in the moment.
I really like Jay White. Like, sometimes, like, the nonsense that, like, I don't know, Collision does. But every time he comes on Dynamite, I'm like, oh, I do like Jay White, though. He's a freak. He's a full freak.
Yeah. I kind of feel like he's most ill-served when he's not allowed to be such a freak. The freakier he is, the more he intrigues me. And I want to know more about him. And I maybe want to take a ride with him in his car, you know?
So many people whose freak instincts are being repressed right now, like Kyle O'Reilly, it's like they're doing some kind of normaling kink, I guess, and I don't care for it.
I'm like, okay, well, when you put it that way, now
I'm interested. Now, yeah.
This is just, it's just Jenna Mulroney and Paul.
Paul Lastname. Yeah. Yep. Kyle's at Bed Bath & Beyond, like, I haven't climaxed once.
Okay. Let's. Oh, and then we got Okada Ospreay, second to last match of the night. I'm sure some people said the match was very good. I know they did. I'm not accessing it right now in my mind palace. But Okada won, and Christopher Daniels came out like, I should be giving you this belt, but I can't do that anymore because I'm an EVP. But there's another man who can give it to you. And then the doors open behind him, or the curtain, or whatever. The wizard is back there, and that's Kenny Omega. And Kenny Omega comes out, and he's dressed nice for us. And he takes the belt down to Okada, and then we have many long minutes of the belt, you know, giving the belt and holding the belt and looking at each other and looking at each other some more and leaving and looking at each other. And then that was Kenny's return to AEW. What'd you think about it?
Crazy. That was a crazy way to do it. Like, I'm sorry, Christopher weird. Daniels said, I've got a new messenger boy. He's going to do the work that I'm not going to do anymore. Kenny, would you take this note to the teacher? Like, what the hell are you doing here?
It was not, it didn't have kind of the pomp and circumstance I might have expected or maybe wanted a little bit.
The drama, because it's like they're staring at each other, so it's like, okay, so Kenny's going to feud with Okada, I guess, but kind of nothing really happened. He did just deliver the belt.
No, yeah, if they wanted to keep this, the same broad strokes, they could have had Christopher Daniels come out with the belt to award it to Okada, and then Okada, like, goes to slam CD with it, and Kenny comes out for this save and, like, I don't know, like, scares Okada away. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been, that would have been at least a little fierce. Like, I'm sorry. My beautiful son, Kenny Omega, just walked down the ramp and said, here's your belt.
Yeah, and especially to be taking the place of Chris Daniels, which is the most humiliating position in the company.
Vice Principal Kenny Omega? I hate it.
It's not, it's really not who he is. Like,
no.
If he's going to work at the school, he's going to be some kind of drama teacher. He's going to be, he's not going to be.
Or he's like the guidance counselor in 10 Things I Hate About You. You know, he's like writing romance novels.
Like, Trojan. I like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Kenny. You're right. That's Kenny. Yeah, it didn't feel, I thought there was something really strange about it. They're actually, between a number of the matches, and again, we were a little cross-faded, but I kept being like, why are we staying here for so long? It just feels like we've been in the in the post.
This one stretched out a long time.
For so and you're long. Like,
I know Kenny's coming out, but it did sort of overdo it.
I thought,
especially
it was,
when Kenny coming out was also just kind of long and eventless, you know. So.
Yeah, and Kenny wasn't really going on any face journeys about it. Kenny was kind of locked down. So
no, and the other part of this is that, like, okay, I'm not stupid. I know that Kenny and Okada fought a gazillion times in New Japan, but I actually don't know what their dynamic was. Like,
not at all.
Was Okada a face? He must have been, because I think he, I don't know that that's true.
Could have been.
Like, I don't know what their vibe is. 50-50 I know why shot. Kenny, I know what Kenny's, I know why he's mad at the Bucks. And Okada is, like, tied to that. But, like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know what the vibe between them is.
It didn't establish, like, who Kenny's going to be coming back really much at all. Yeah.
Right. Especially because he was kind of dressed like heel Kenny.
Yeah,
and it felt like there had to have been some better, if he was going to communicate, like, seems like I got fired by my faction, and then they hired you, who I hate, and now you're at my company. I think there would have been maybe a zestier, hammier way to communicate that, because I wasn't really getting that. Getting more, it was a little like, Kenny, are the guts okay? Because sometimes it is the look you had sometimes when you were dissociating about the guts. Yeah. Are we okay?
Yeah. Why didn't they let him have the mic? Why couldn't he say anything?
I don't know. I like when they give him the mic. He always says something crazy.
Yeah. If he'd had the mic to express some feelings about the Bucks hiring Okada, Okada being the new man in the middle, the new middleman.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
You know, of course, look, Kenny, let's go. It's 2025. Let's have a great year. Tony, let's make sure Kenny has a great year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tony, let's make sure everyone in the Elite has a great year. Yeah. How do you feel about that, Tony? Do you think it could be a good year for the Elite and their fans?
This is not a year to fuck with us.
Tony, it's called All Elite Wrestling. Do you think you could give us a really good year?
You're putting so much money into those Elite. You want to get your money's worth, buddy?
He says, time will tell. Well, girls, who knows? Who knows what I'll get? What the worth they will be? Let's move on to the other big event of Wrestle Time, World's End.
World's they End should have a pay per view called Wrestle Time. That would be fun.
Wrestle Time sounds pretty fun. that's a pay per view for the goofs and the gals. You know? Okay, so Mox, Orange Cassidy, Hangman, and Jay White main evented in their four-way match. This match, it was kind of up and down, would you say?
Yeah, it was fine. Like, Allie, you said something that I think was extremely right, which is that I don't think Mox should have been in that match.
I thought the match was working best when Mox was out of commission. Like, after I guess they did the Shield tribute and they all powerbombed Mox together and then he was out for like 10 minutes or something. That was the part of the match where I was like, oh, this is starting to cook. I'm liking this. And I love Mox. So, you know, there's something about the structure of the story and the match and stuff that just wasn't working. Cause then when Mox came back, it was like, oh, it's not working again.
I think it's, I don't know if this is right, but it feels like, you know, they really didn't, the three contenders really, like, didn't have, like, the whole storyline leading up to it has been, like, they couldn't cooperate together to take down Mox, so they just ended up having to turn on each other. So it's, like, the moments when it was them, like, ripping at each other, trying to, like, get to the top of the pyramid, that felt compelling and fascinating in watching it. But when Mox was also in it, it was just sort of like, well, like, I would want to see this as a singles match, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That is probably what the problem was, that Mox hasn't actually been very involved in the storyline, which is interesting.
Right. It's like one of these guys has to win, which, you know, obviously now it's Jay White, and then they can move into a feud with Mox. It's like Mox is kind of, he can't be in this because he's going to be in the second part. He's going to be in part two.
I don't know. So they're having this match that we're struggling to comprehend, and we cut to Christian with his clipboard case. We cut to Hook, who also is still involved in that storyline, which I guess is still a storyline because Hook did fight Nick Wayne on the last Rampage, but. That's a little difficult for me to kind of wrap my mind around. And then Mox ended up pinning Jay White for the win. I think there were some shenanigans involved, I think, maybe not. And but then who should burst out the tunnels but those guys we love to see the most, FTR. And they really did come out right at the end, just as we like them to. And they were followed by Big Adam Copeland, now I guess officially known as Cope, which people are, I guess, mad about.
Not I guess, me. But it's I like it. What are you gonna call him?
You gotta. Right. You need a nickname for him.
Well, there was. I thought that people were commenting on the fact that he's trying to use Rated R Superstar as a name, because I heard somebody say that like it's because he's so excited about his Emmy nominations he doesn't want Adam Copeland to be like associated with the wrestling part, which is so funny.
Okay, that's funny. He's too embarrassed.
All of a sudden, but then it did morph. The conversation morphed into like, do you think he knows what cope means on the internet? And I was like, well, if he doesn't, that's also
who
funny.
Cares?
Yeah.
I'll say something that I think could come off as slightly mean-spirited, but I think maybe if you don't want your name to be associated with wrestling, you shouldn't be in the world title picture. That's a little thought that I'm having.
It's sort of like, well, you can't wash the stink off you once you've got it.
Yeah, I think if you've been a wrestler for like 30 years, you're kind of going to be associated with wrestling, so...
I like calling him Cope, and I don't have any problems with the slang associations. I think it's fun and normal, yeah. So that's my opinion. Cope came out with FTR. They are Rated FTR. Brawling ensued. The Death Riders and Rated FTR then main evented this week's Dynamite, which was Fight for the Fallen, the first Max simulcast. I don't even know if simulcast is the right word. I just kind of put it in there. Is that what it was?
I think so.
Could have been. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it was being cast simultaneously, right? It looked great, I will say. I thought the sound and the visual quality was fun. And it was nice to watch it not on the TBS app.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was cool to not be on the TBS app. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. So they had a big trios match, and Cope pinned Yuta for the win. So, okay. Well, where do you want to start? What do you want to talk about? Cope returned. Cope's return. Thoughts?
I feel like I have so many complicated feelings about this because I like Adam Copeland. I really do.
Yeah,
like
I do.
I like him. I'm glad to see him. I'm hoping he's going to come back and do something fun and sexy. I hated that he came back with FTR because every time FTR is in a match, I'm trying not to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, so that sucks. I also am like, well, I don't really think I don't think Cope should be going for the title right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really that compelling to me, but I don't like, especially because like the Death Riders do need something, and I just don't think it is Cope. And
no,
like whatever. But like also, to me, I'm like Cope hasn't done anything that I didn't like yet, so maybe it'll be fine. Like
I know,
I don't know.
I think we liked some stuff more than many others did. Like I loved Cope's little evil promo where his own. Like his own head was the shadow of his head was on his shoulder. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that one did not go over well with many. Whereas I was like, I thought that was great. I loved it. Yeah. So,
and he recently reminded me that he was the one who caused the period spill between Malachi Black's legs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was beautiful. Iconic moment.
Yeah. I feel like also like I'm having a hard time like sorting out my own actual feelings about a lot of this because I think the internet, like at least our circles, has turned on the Death Rider story really hard and also has gotten really negative on Christian and Cope, which is totally fair. Like, people can have whatever opinions they want. But, like, I'm a little bit like, what happened in November that we all hate this, like, so much? Because I still feel like it's not, like, scintillating, but I'm not, like, that mad about it. And I'm not that mad about, like, Cope and Christian, to be honest. So it's like, I don't know, like, if Copeland's just going to take a little run at the title and lose it because, you know, Darby's going to win it later or whatever, it's like, I mean, that's fine. I don't really care.
I guess sometimes I do think I'm like, well, lots of people have to not get the title before someone gets the title. So we do. You'd have to let people not get the title. Should it be other people not getting the title? Perhaps. But I'm not sure. But then also I'm like, why does Cope want to come back into this storyline when all I think everybody wants to see is for him to fight and then kiss with Christian? I thought they were going to fight and kiss. Christian, of course, is in this. He's in the zone here somehow. Right. I don't know what is going on with him. He hasn't cut a promo in quite a while.
I thought they were shunting him back off into the Hook thing and out of the title picture, but then they're not, kind of. So it's a little unfocused.
And it's weird for Christian or Cope to come into the title picture without the Christian part coming up. I don't know.
I think it's starting to feel a little like they're like, oh, we won't use this person. We'll just they'll leave the title picture room, and someone else will come in, and then all of a sudden, like 10 people come from the back of the room. They're like, there's no door out. We're all just in here. Did you know that? We're all still in here. There's no way out.
Because MJF was also talking, like, he's going to make a play for it. It's like, oh, we've got too many people here, really, at this point.
It's a tight kitchen. It's a galley kitchen. We don't have room for all of you.
Everyone's in the kitchen holding a pan, being like, can I get one of those burners? And we're like, there's only four burners.
Four at most.
So they're kind of cuddling up. It's like Hook, Christian, and Cope are sharing a pan. I guess your bodies take up a lot of space too.
I think this Death Rider storyline is so interesting because, like, the EVPs did something similar over the summer, and I felt like that started really strong, and I was really into it, and it was really fun, and then it, like, kind of stretched out and got weaker, and, like, it was like, this isn't really working, and then Mox started doing this, and I was like, oh, I'm really into it, it's really fun, started strong, and now it's kind of having the same issues of, like, getting stretched out and not really working, which I think is interesting. It's like they have to commit more if they're going to do, like, a taking over the promotion thing, I think.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, if your gimmick, and I think this is what the EVPs ran into, is, like, if your gimmick is that you're taking over the company, then it has to ricochet down, not to use, you know, not to
use his name in vain.
Yeah. Down throughout the company. You know what I mean? You can't be like, I'm taking over the company, but actually it's just that you took over the main event scene. You know what I mean?
Right.
It leaves me feeling like it's like when Supernatural fought God, or Buffy was fighting the first evil. You're like, it's too much. Heels need, like, small achievable goals.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? Where do you go after that? Right.
Yeah.
But also, like, I was thinking about this because I forget why, like, last year we were, or no, was it when we were talking to Marty DeRosa about, like, okay, so not to bring up Vince McMahon, but, like, I think the only time that this, like, whole storyline worked really well is when, like, faces were facing Vince McMahon, because he really did run the company, you know what I mean? So, like, he was an authority figure, right? When, like, that made sense. But it's like, Tony Khan, A, should not be on our TVs that much, and B, like, I don't think is that believable, and, you know, whatever. So it's, I just think that AEW possibly can't do takeovers.
Well, I don't know if I think that could very well be true. The other thing I'll say is that, like, if a group is running roughshod over AEW and being like, we're going to take control of this company, then I need to see the material impacts of that. And they have to probably become quite pronounced. Like, it really should be, like, you know, an episode of a TV show where suddenly you're in your normal, like, Sunnydale high, but it looks like an apocalyptic ghostland. And it's like, God, what happened here? And it's just like, you haven't heard about the Death Riders? Quick, like, get it. We already said it. It's like the paintball episode of Community. But you want that feeling of just like, oh, something is going crazy here. And, like, people, like, you want to see them being kind of scared. Like, they're like, I can't sit down and give an interview. I have to go hide in a broom closet. Like, it's not safe back here. Yeah. I think you could get away with that. I mean, some people still wouldn't like it. I think that would make sense, but there hasn't been that kind of
They started it, right? When like Danny Garcia and Private Party were like rounding up like.
Yes, but they said that they were worried about what the backstage was going to be like, but then we didn't see actual examples of like backstage. Because it was like they were coming out and beating you up in the match, but it's kind of like, that's wrestling, baby. That's just wrestling. Some randos come out and beat you up by the ring. That's normal.
Yeah, you should see Mox like walking up to lower card guys and being like, hey, you're going to fight him. And I don't care if you don't like it, and like throwing them in the ring, you know, like doing anything just to like run things and terrorize like the little guys.
Or he's like slapping plates out of people's hands and he's being like, you don't get to eat. You'd only eat if you win.
Going full comedy with it would probably be the best way to go, which the EVPs were doing more.
I know. The EVPs were, and they were giving us what we wanted because they were doing those little backstage segments where you're like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't like to work there. That would not work for me, brother. So I don't know. But then Mox has also leaned more into, like, clearly is some kind of cult leader thing, which I don't think was that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people are like, yeah, that's been obvious the whole time. But he really leaned into it the past week or two. And so he's giving these speeches where it's like, oh, yeah, you're a religious zealot. I still don't really know what your vision is because, it's mostly playing out just in, like, winning in matches in the ring.
Yeah, right. And beating people up sometimes after the matches, which, again, like, those are just normal wrestling.
Yeah, things, that's pretty much normal wrestling. So, I don't know. Do you want to do? Oh yeah. Oh, there's all this other stuff. Well, do you want to do ins and outs for Mox though?
Yeah.
You got to explain what.
Oh yeah. I guess I'm like everybody knows. you know, ins and outs is you do like you know stuff that you. It's 2025. It's a brand new year. Stuff that is in for 2025. That's what we're leaning into. Those are the vibes we're chasing. Stuff that is out. Those are the things that maybe we did a little too much of this year, and we might have to cut it out in the year to come.
It's doing New Year's resolutions, but like it's a trend piece. I told my mom about this actually, and she loved it. She was like, oh, yeah, I did ins and outs. It's like, yeah, it's way better than resolutions. Yeah. It's producer Marjorie got us into it.
Thank you, producer Marjorie.
The best. I think more for Mox, I want more of this, the cult leader stuff. Like, I think that does work for me. So, like, if he gets more into like this, like his riddle thing would work there, you know, the silver tongued, like only through me you can find salvation would be better.
I'm gonna say ins backstage bullying.
Yeah.
I would say also ins just like anything new, anything sort of creative that I haven't seen before. Maybe, like
ins creativity.
Creativity.
Ins, I think, like, would be a great one for Mox to lean into. Doing good art. Oh, doing bad art.
Yeah. I think it's hard to argue with those.
But Anne, hey Anne, I don't think Mox means to do bad art.
I don't think he does mean to do bad art.
He means to do good art. But
he's trying to do good art, but sometimes we fail.
Sometimes you gotta change it up, try and get it right. Okay, let's move on to what else was going on with Cope TR, I called them. I think I'm kind of boycotting Rated FTR because I'm so annoyed. Cope TR had a backstage interlude with Big Bill and Brian Keith on Dynamite. This wasn't transcribed on AllElitewrestling.com for some reason because Tony's lazy, I think. But I think Cope was just being like, I'd love to touch Jericho. Could I get a touch of that guy? And Big Bill was like, well, he's not here right now, but I'm sure you guys could touch at a future date. Is that how it went? I think
so. Unfortunately, the book's describing wrestling as touching is definitely going to be something that we
really changed us. Would you say that helped you become a woman again?
In that interview, I became a woman.
Wow. They'll love to hear that.
So I guess they're going to be doing trios wrestling. I guess.
Yeah, that's real annoying.
To be honest, but again, I like Cope, but I'm like, well, I don't pay attention to the trios division anyway, so I guess.
No.
Cope, the one thing I'll say is Adam Copeland, unfortunately, you will be getting boycotted and sandbagged by us for as long as you are carting around those two little bozos in the back of your van.
Wasn't he kind of mean to them like a year or two ago? I feel like there was a time when they were trying to glom onto him and he was kind of mean. And I was like, oh, good. Nip that in the bud. But
no, they got him. That's why it's so important not to get an injury that you have to sit home for 6 months or something. Because who knows who's going to get their claws in you.
Yeah.
I know they're friends.
They're texting, whatever. Yeah. Honestly, in this promo, I was a little distracted just looking at Cope looking kind of short next to Big Bill, which was delightful. Oh, I loved that.
Good classic relative sizes of men.
Yeah, because like Cope always looks so, so tall, but then he looked like just a normal man.
Just next regular. To Big Bill. Yeah, and Big Bill looked kind of like normal tall, you know?
So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. But Adam Copeland, you are kind of on, you're kind of on notice right now, I will say that. And it's not because I don't like you. I like you. I do like you, even though you are older. You're an older gentleman, which is not always the key to everybody's heart these days. But I still like you.
It's the key to Tony's heart.
He loves an old man. Yeah.
What are these old men doing back there?
I think it's this thing where it's like having a wrestling fan as the booker is in some ways like a good thing. And then in other ways, that man was a child watching Jeff Jarrett. And so his feelings are disproportionate, you know?
So you think that it's like they get back there. Do you think they're doing it on purpose? They're like, I'm going to channel 80s, 90s. When was Adam Copeland wrestling? 90s, zeros, early zeros.
Early zeros.
Early zeros. I'm going to channel my early zeros self, and I'm just going to kind of tower over Tony Khan, and he's going to feel like a little baby again, and he's going to, his eyes are going to go so big and excited, and I'm going to say, God, I'd love to have a big old shiny belt. And Tony says, I'd love to see you with a belt.
You keep using that gimmick that I remember from when I was a child. I'll give you anything. Jeff Jarrett, you want an all-in moment? You got it.
What you want, baby, you got it. Is Jeff Jarrett from Texas?
No, Tennessee.
Well, then what are we fucking doing here? No, sorry, Jeff. We'll get to you later. Okay? Like, don't jump the line.
I hope I'm right.
I'm not worried if you're not. Orange Cassidy and Hangman came to blows repeatedly during the World's End match where they could not get on the same page about defeating Jon Moxley. So later, OC cut a promo in which he said that he's kind of at his wit's end. Nothing he's doing is working, and he doesn't really know what to do going forward, but he's going to start by dealing with Hangman. And so they got scheduled for a match on Fight for the Fallen Dynamite January 1st. They opened the first ever Max simulcast, and Hangman won, which I thought was right. I thought it was right for him to win.
Yeah, he needed it.
He needed it. What did you guys think of the match? And, I mean, of it happening at all and how it went?
You know, I feel like sometimes, like, people think that we think every match is horny and that, like, every match has, like, sexual, like, connotations. It was very fascinating to watch this match.
It was interesting.
Which features two men that I love a lot. And I have, like, felt... Been like those men do sex to other people. They didn't really do sex to each other.
They didn't.
That was comrades in arms.
Surprising considering how much they were burying each other's, their faces in each other's crotches, you know, but it still didn't really have that I want you energy.
Listen,
it was very professional.
It was very professional. And we're not knocking the moves. I loved the moves. No, I loved seeing some of these
two of my favorite wrestlers
moves.
To watch, really.
Beautiful bodies, beautiful men. Hangman, what's going on with your body? I hope you don't start changing up your workout routine because you look fucking perfect. You are a perfect man, and I think you know it.
Yeah.
So don't change a thing. But yeah, they didn't have that zazazui. They didn't have that...
Like, when they were, like, facing off, like, before the four-way and, like, having little interactions, I was like, ooh, this is a little charged. Like, I'm into this. And then when they got out there, just the two of them, it was like, oh.
It was interesting. It was good game, buddy. Yeah. Good game.
Yeah, they were two guys who really wrestled a match. And they just wrestled. And that's, hey, everybody kept their pants on. That's okay.
We'll allow it. It was interesting. I was thinking about us asking about chemistry and being like, this isn't quite what the Young Bucks were talking about, I don't think. I don't think that they necessarily think of chemistry exactly the same way that we do, but
And it was interesting too, because it was like a good match. So in a way, it was like
fun good time. I liked it a
chemistry,
lot.
Chemistry, but they really, and I don't know if they had done a little build for more build, maybe, you know, like maybe. Two, one-on-one build, like with kissing pose, would that have like gotten them there a little more? Like, hard to say.
I do wonder if more one of Hangman's tweenier versions, like if he were in more of a space of like, I want to be good, but I keep being bad and I hate myself and you're reminding me of the ways in which I hate myself. I think that could have lit a fire way more. But this was, it was a little, it felt a little kind of straightforward. It was like OCs.
Yeah. Well, don't you think that maybe also part of the problem is that like they're each of them served as a replacement for Mox for the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they both would have rather be fighting Mox again.
But that can be very sexy.
It can be.
But it wasn't.
But not in this case.
Not in this case. I just want to say, let's not throw that baby out with the bathwater. Okay?
No, we can look at that. Well, I think they're both kind of in a weird place alignment-wise, where it's like Hangman's been heel-y, but now he's getting less so, and OC has been a big-time baby face, but now he's all in black and kind of he's depressed.
They haven't really done much more than he's pretty depressed.
Which is funny, because it's like, since
it's hard to feel sexy when you're depressed, you know?
True. But since his family fell apart, he's just been low-key in the back of every promo being like, I wish I was dead, and nobody will address that with him.
No one. Renee's the only one who checks in on him, and even she hasn't for a while.
It's really pretty sick that Kyle O'Reilly has left him in this condition. Like, it's like, you're the only thing that was kind of bringing him a little bit of joy, and you just left for your ex-boyfriends, and now you're in a faction with them, and you guys are faces, even though you left this depressed man alone. I don't think so.
Disgusting behavior.
Christopher Daniels also ran out. Oh, at the end of this match, like, Hangman won, and then he had, like, really hurt OC's neck. So OC was clutching his neck, selling for his life. Beautiful boy. You did such a good job.
Yeah. And very erotic. Not aimed at Hangman, but it was an erotic image.
Oh, yeah. Generalized eroticism was in the air. And Christopher Daniels came out to yell at Hangman, and that's what happened. So Christopher Daniels is still working. He still has a job.
Yeah, he got fired, and yet he's still doing all the same tasks. So that's interesting. Like, did he get demoted, like, salary down, but responsibilities the same?
They said, we're having to eliminate positions. We do not have a vice principal position anymore, but we do have an unpaid internship that we could give you.
And you will be doing all the same things as you were doing as the vice principal.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, it's not a great job market, so... This is what's happening.
I don't want any gaps on my resume, so I'll just
while
keep
I'm job hunting.
He's like, at least if I work here, I can sneak into the cafeteria and get some mini pizzas, and that'll keep me going. So that's what's going on with him, I guess. Okay. Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander. Oh, did you guys want to do ins and outs for OC and Hangman, actually? Roll it back.
Ins for OC. More depression.
More depression. Deeper depression.
Deeper, darker.
I
want to
see that man cry.
God, I do. Oh, I really want to see him wail.
In crying, for sure.
I'm like, I want to at some point realize that we haven't even seen him fully process his losses. And suddenly he's like, my husband was killed in front of me. My son will never return to me. I am Han Solo.
And honestly,
then he sob.
Right, like, since Dustin got fridged, like, he's been on this quest for, like, revenge, right? But it's, like, once you fail at that quest, that's when the depression is really going to hit you, you know?
Yeah.
Once you stop moving.
Oh, that's when you die. I want to watch that man sink like a stone to the bottom of the ocean. Fountains of Wayne. Outs for either man?
Outs for OC, I feel like... This isn't phrased well, but it's like all these these people he picks up with no real emotional connection to, out with the one night stand, that 6 month stands of people you're just like standing next to, but not connected.
That's right. Oh, reopen your heart. We want, let true love back in, but with the exact same people that we missed. Hey, let's bring back those exact same people we miss. Let's get our Chuck Taylor back. Let's get our little Greggy back. Let's get our Chris Statlander back. Time to be good again. Time to be friends. Perfect. I love that, Anne. Outs for Hangman. I think it might be, I think this is a little controversial. I think it might be something he's doing with his hair recently. It's looking kind of smaller. I think I like it when it's a little, I don't know, when it has a little more body. Mm. So.
I don't mind it. I think it looks terrible, but like in this way that like he should look terrible right now because he looks like on the edge, like. Like, he's not caring for himself, so I don't mind it right now, but...
It is clearly a character choice, yeah. He stopped using conditioner when he heel turned, but and I mean, I agree that it's depressing to look at.
I accept that, but I think I'm ready to see that man look beautiful again.
I have a similarly controversial, potentially out, which is that out with the fire pants. I hate the fire pants. I hate looking at them. I don't think they're good.
I will defer to my co-host who feels much more strongly and say out with the fire pants. Let's get a new pair. Do you have an idea for him? What do you think he should be wearing?
Trunks.
Oh
hell yeah. Get them back. All in Everybody's trunks. In trunks this year. Hey, last year mustaches, those legs, this year boy. Trunks.
At our pumps for us, it's going to be trunks mandatory for everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't think, will people be able to ask for, like, submit a doctor's note and be like, I have to be allowed to wear long boys?
Yeah, I don't know if we can put OC in trunks.
I don't feel comfortable about that.
Okay,
really,
you're right. You're right. Scared. Yeah.
Jean trunks? Little jean trunks?
Oh, those might be cute, though.
Little jean short shorts?
Short shorts. Yeah, if he did
Daisy Dukes
shorts.
Can we put Daisy Dukes on him?
He's in Daisy Dukes, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right,
girls,
let's handle
we did it.
We did it. We'll handle it.
Daisy Dukes.
We'll handle it on a case-by-case basis. Each wrestler can come talk to us, and we'll have a conversation. We'll workshop it.
Well, it's the same way that we want you to come to us to talk through your narrative arc. You will come to us to talk through how you'll be expressing that via the medium of fashion. Mm-hmm. And we'll find some stuff you never would have thought of, you funny little guys.
And we'll tell you some nice things about your body. And you just listen to us. You don't listen to the internet. You listen to us. Look away from the internet. Look at me. Look right at me.
Look at me in my eyes.
I will say to all of our wrestlers what I desperately wish I could have said to Matt Jackson during an interview. Stop listening to freaks on the Twitter
please.
And start listening to freaks on Tumblr.
Yes. You need to understand that every single one of you, I'm not saying that every person in the world is looking at you and saying you have the most perfect juicy body of all time, but someone is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone is. And you have to that person, play to your audience and say, I am beautiful in every single way. And they're out there saying you are beautiful in every single way.
I think this is legitimately good advice. Like, legitimately think that all wrestlers should be like, this is for the creep on Tumblr who's obsessed with my body.
Yeah. For that girl I see in the crowd every week.
As long as that person is maintaining reasonable boundaries from you, a wrestler, we do not advocate for not having boundaries.
But for
being a little weirdo with boundaries on Tumblr.com, yes, we advocate for it. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. And you are better than most men. And you could be a man on Tumblr too, though. Well, I'm in a hole. You know what I mean.
No, I do. I'm like, okay, back it up. The pervert on Tumblr who is doing the perving is doing it in their own ecosystem. They don't know that the wrestler is getting emotional validation from this person because they've never tried to be in the wrestler's sphere because we don't believe in that.
We don't believe in that.
We don't believe
Tumblr as a whole understands it for the most
part. Except for sometimes when we interview the Young Bucks.
But it happens against
our
will.
That's an accident.
Don't worry about it.
Just don't worry about it and that's it. And that's it for that. And I think we did maintain boundaries.
I think we did a good job. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We said, you look great always. We didn't say anything about a juicy body.
You're my president.
That was great. That's something we didn't say. Could have said it. Didn't say it.
We didn't say anything inappropriate.
We've actually been fine this whole time. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
What is this segment about?
Oh, Dukes? Ins and outs for Hangman, which I think we may have gotten there.
Yeah, I think that ultimately what we say to the wrestlers is, You're perfect. Stop it. Stop. Don't stop talking to each other and getting kind of weird about your bodies with each other. And like, just celebrate your body as we celebrate your bodies, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And just, I want you to feel comfortable for yourself. I want you to feel good about yourself because you all deserve it. Even Brian Cage.
Even Brian Cage.
I love you, Brian. I love you.
We celebrate even your body, Brian Cage.
Your unnatural twisted body.
He's like, my body that I've worked so hard.
He's like, my body's the most beautiful body.
We're like, stop working on it. Stop it, Brian. You've been in there for years.
Listeners should know that we asked our friend to Photoshop Brian Cage's head onto Darby Allin's body. And then all three of us were like, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen. He should do that.
He looked great. He looked amazing.
Oh my God. I loved it. All right. Something else?
No, I was just going to say, I'm used to seeing like our terrible Photoshops, which are always an abomination, but this was like by a graphic designer. I was like, wow, that's seamless.
Incredible. She knows a little more about what she's doing. Yeah. Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander fought at Worlds, and this was a real slobber knocker. They went in on each other.
Yeah, they did.
Was this the match? Did they keep shouting stuff like, why won't you die? Or yeah, they did.
And I love that. I love that their vibe is just like, I have to murder you and I can't figure out how.
Yeah.
And I love just how strong Chris is. It's just fun to see women wrestlers really like being big time strong hunks.
Mm-hmm. It does rock. Although I will say one thing about what's going on with Chris right now. Well, there's, so Chris is a face now and she has kind of, and made her own little face there. And I do agree with it. Cause I wouldn't say that I think this has been an amazingly successful series of character choices in terms of, I don't know, like coherence. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, we just heard a little about how there's not always a lot the wrestlers can do about it. But
I think she did just get moved around like an action figure and it was hard to connect the dots. But
I guess it just feels like it didn't have to be this way. She has this new gear that she's wearing now that she's not evil anymore. She's getting into like a new gear thing where she has like a little like headband. Mm-hmm. And every time I see her, I, for some reason, something about the cut of the gear too, I just hear, I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't want to do the work today. And I don't know. As a character note, it's not bad, but not amazing either, actually.
It is a weird headband. She started it with her Zoolander cosplay.
Yeah, then, she did, yeah.
And then it disappeared, and now it's come back, and I don't think she's doing Zoolander anymore, but it feels like she saw herself do that and was like, looked great, I should bring that back.
It's not that it looks bad. I think that maybe I'm just like, I just don't, I want to have more to grab onto right now. And I don't, Leah, did you access in your mind palace the truth of what, oh, we accessed in our mind palace that was Sarah's mind palace. Okay. What did we see from Chris and Willow?
Sarah always has access to her mind palace, but yeah.
but we have to reach out for special, privileges to go rummaging around in her archives.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I didn't see this, but I knew it had happened, that Chris or Willow had an interview on Collision and Chris crashed it to be like, good luck. And so I think she might be trying to like apologize to Willow and get back there. In which case I'm like, she could apologize to OC to you. Maybe they can get the gang back together.
And one of you did, or maybe both of you saw the promo that she did recently.
Yeah, she was just pretty similar to OC, where it's like, I don't know what to do next, kind of, so.
It's interesting to have them in the same place when one of them was really bad, and then the other one was just a little bit of a narcissist, and there's no problem with that, that's fine.
Well, it would be, like, I think people have been speculating that Greg might be nearing ready to come back, and it would be kind of fun if, like, Chris, Willow, and OC made up, and then it's like Chris and OC get into a van and they go driving somewhere, and then they like beep and they're like, Greg comes out and he's like, hey, let's just get this band back together.
But I want them to fight with Greg after he was so mean to OC.
I want them to work it through with Greg. I mean, yeah. I need Greg to have an emotional breakthrough in the ring, maybe, mm-hmm. where he's like, wow, Leah, I can't with stop you. It. I cannot stop it. OC, has he always been perfect? No. But have any of us, Leah? Have any of us?
Has OC ever apologized to Greg?
He doesn't have to apologize to Greg. Well, the pod is breaking up. I'm afraid.
Leah's heel turn.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Chris and OC and Willow as a little faction would be That'd be super cute, fun mm-hmm. and cute. That'd be OC cute. And Willow were so cute on Milena Match Together. I loved it.
Yeah. So that's, you know, maybe in female friendship for men. Mm-hmm. 2025?
Yeah. I think mm-hmm. OC could use some female friendship, to be honest.
I think it would be healing for him.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's our recommendation then. Mercedes did win this match with Chris, and so she retained the title she has, mm-hmm. which is the TBS title. Yeah. Gotta be. And then she got an in-ring promo and, like, a video package that she'd put together on Dynamite this week ahead of her fight versus Mina Shirakawa at Dynasty. And there wasn't a ton content-wise to this promo. I don't think there was a ton there, but her little glasses looked really cute.
Yeah, she looked very cute, and I was happy for her to get a celebration, but it was kind of funny because I'm a little more used to, like, a celebration in the ring. Like, there should be a cake that someone goes into or, like, an oil painting gets revealed, and this was just kind of like, oh, that was nice, I guess.
Yeah. It did feel like there could have been some kind of pratfall. I wouldn't have minded if we had a pratfall, but, you know, we don't always get what we want. But I am excited about that match.
Yes, for sure.
All right. I didn't see this, but on the last ever Rampage, Chris Jericho fought Anthony Bowens. And during some late in the match shenanigans, Max Caster either accidentally brained Anthony Bowens with the ROH World title. So they were not on great terms. On Wednesday's Dynamite, we had a little backstage section where they were trying to kind of get to the bottom of what had happened ahead of a match they had scheduled with the Hurt Syndicate, who now are a tag team.
After all that,
what are we fucking doing here? What are we doing to here? Torture us. Fine.
Max Caster cracked me up during this promo, though. Like, he was so funny because he, like, started doing a pretty normal, like, Max Caster thing. And Anthony Bowens was like, stop. Hey, did you try to hit me with that title? And Max Caster was like, do you think there's a better time to have that conversation? And I was like, yeah, probably there are.
His delivery was, like, so natural and, like, it was really weirdly good acting. I was like, Max Caster, unfortunately, you're back in my heart, I think, lately, because you've been doing a lot of, like, fun little humiliations, and I like that, so.
I love Leah,
you, man. You have to explain how you diagnosed Max Caster's vibe in that promo.
I said that, like, his vibe was kind of like, he's your dirtbag boyfriend who's sitting on the couch playing video games for, like, 18 hours a day, and he won't get a job, and you, like, finally get so fucking sick of him that you're like, Max, you have to get a job or I'm breaking up with you. And he pauses his video game and looks at you and goes, are you mad at me? I'm just a little birthday boy. How are you going to be mad at a little guy? And, it's like, oh, fuck.
He shouldn't get away with it, but, like, next thing you know, it's like your friends being like, so you dumped him, right? And you're like, just kidding. Couldn't quite do it. I'm going to keep him for a while, I think.
A little longer.
Probably next week. Next week I'll probably break up with him. And then it's 6 months.
He's trying to beat a really hard level. I can't break up with him right now. So they had a little back and forth along those lines, and then they went out to do the match, and they got into a bit of a tiff in the match because I think Max Caster kept trying to tag in when Anthony Bowens didn't want him to, and so eventually Max Caster tagged in and Anthony Bowens, like, jumped off the apron and was just like, fuck it, you want to be in there, you're in there. So Max Caster got his little butt kicked by two big boys. And
were throwing him so far. And Max Caster is, like, a pretty big guy himself, but it was, like, the air they were getting on this. I was like, I am all in. I love this. Yeah. I love Max Caster. I love the Hurt Syndicate.
I liked to see it. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
And Anthony Bowens left. He was, so Backcaster lost and Anthony Bowens left. And I think that's all good. I'm happy with all of that. I don't really know. Yeah. I'm interested in what is next for Anthony Bowens. Maxcaster, I guess, will join. I don't know. He got beat up by them, but I felt like...
Weirdly enough, I feel like Maxcaster has the better situation because, like, if he's prepared to be the pin eater for the hurt syndicate, that's a really good place for him to be. And he's going to make the most of that. Like, Maxcaster's never going to be, like, a single star, but he will fucking rule at, like, half comedy relief, half, like, pin eating guy. Like, that's a great place for him.
Yeah.
Anthony Bowens almost has, like, the more difficult place because he's going to be fighting for, like, the mid-card single area, which it's like, that's a death place to be in.
It's overstuffed for sure. Yeah, whereas like, and the Hurt Syndicate doesn't have a lot of comic relief going on right now either. So like Maxcaster being silly next to those guys, like that's fun. I'm into that, you know?
I think you are technically right, but my immediate response was like, but they're all comic relief. Like they're always doing funny things. And I'm like, I guess maybe not all those things are supposed to be funny. Sometimes they just, they mean them real, for real, seriously. Mm. But yeah, I think that's true. I'm interested. I'm interested. I'm listening.
And I think they've executed this breakup like pretty well, to be honest. Like, I think they've paced it out pretty good. And
it's extremely believable that Anthony Bowens is Maxcaster's best friend who has been tried and tried and tried for years.
Yeah,
and it's finally coming to a place where he's like, Max, I have like. I just can't, like, I can't do that. I've had it with you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it happens, man.
Yeah. Sometimes you see, like, a friendship breakup and you're like, wow, that came out of nowhere. Whereas this year, like, yeah, I get it.
It probably honestly should have happened, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah. It's like, you hung on too long. He's been on your couch for so long.
And you're kind of like, Max, is this going to make you examine yourself at all? Because, like, to lose that kind of devotion, and that's something that should shake you up. And Maxcaster is just like, I'm fine. He won't be examining himself for many years to come, perhaps ever.
He's gonna accidentally fall upwards with MVP. You know, MVP is gonna be put on a nice suit and start taking him around places.
I'm a little fast and loose with the term "nice suit" about what's going on in that faction, but okay, we'll see. Time will tell. MJF and Adam Cole. Oh, do you want any ins for Maxcaster or Anthony Bowens? Ins, little birthday boy. Ins?
Yeah. Pin eater. Pin eater, humiliation sufferer, a little ins? Goofy.
Now, that's a man who has a beautiful body and has never done anything that I didn't like with it. He's working. Whatever he's doing, it's working. Body. Keep it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. MJF and Adam Cole had their big blow-off match with the Undisputed Kingdom ringside, and it was a match that happened. And we don't have to say more than that.
It did happen like 4 matches in, just kind of buried in the middle of the card. It didn't open it up. It didn't main event. Honestly, that combined with a mere 7-minute promo that wasn't terrible, I was like, you know what? These guys can... They can do whatever. I'm feeling better about it.
Anne's like, oh, fight forever. Fight forever.
If you want to do it, you know, in 10 minutes in the middle, like, what do I care?
I wasn't upset, but I wouldn't say that I was very invested either. They did both bleed. I know many people have pointed out that to bleed when Ospreay opened the show with the blood he opened with was kind of like, well, for what though? Why would you try?
I feel like there's been a real run, maybe in the last year, I don't know what the time frame, but of MJF kind of like doing a worse version of something someone else did on the same show. And it's really like, bro, you got to do your own thing and stop like trying to do what other people are doing unless you're going to do the best version on the one
really
show.
Really suffering from comparison. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's like nothing, there's no idea that's just like so amazing. What am I trying to say? It's like things work because they work for the people they work for. You know, it's like you have to do the thing that works for you. Sometimes you're looking for that thing, but you're not going to find it by looking at another artist and being like, I'll just do their exact art. You can't. You can only do your art. And I know people were mean about your art, so maybe you're feeling a little sensitive about that. But these are, I mean, you are an artist, and these are the problems that an artist has to work through. And maybe you should be reading a little book about, maybe read a little Natalie Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe check out The Artist's Way. Like, maybe we should be asking a little more, maybe read On Writing Stephen King. He definitely talks about you got to do what you can do and you can't do what anybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And MJF really suffers from a lack of authenticity a lot of times, too. So it really is like you gotta look inside you and see who's the real guy in there.
Which on a meta level is kind of fun because that is the character of MJF. It's like it is right for him to be doing what other people are doing and not doing it as well because it's not his authentic self because he's insecure.
And if he made that the text, that would be fun. Yeah,
that's not nothing.
But that's, I mean, that's like the FTR thing too, right? It's like if you actually were willing to plumb your own insecurities to make a like meal out of it, this would fucking rule. But I don't know that you are capable of that, so you probably wouldn't.
Yeah, it's like just watching someone's insecurities and the ways they cover for them is not art. But if they took those insecurities and made art out of them, that would be great. So,
and in fact, that is really what art is. That is there is a grand tradition for that. So it's a little free psychoanalysis. Okay,
just recommending the artist way to MJF. Start doing some morning pages, see what happens.
You know, my copy of The Artist Way, Robert Bly's.
Oh, that's right.
That I know. I went to his estate sale and I got a bunch of his books. Okay. Okay, so the Undisputed Kingdom distracted the ref enough for MJF to kick Adam Cole in the nuts, and then MJF won, and he retained his Dynamite Diamond ring. And then he went to chair Adam Cole's leg, but Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy ran out to save Adam Cole, and so they saved him, and then MJF was lying there like, nobody likes me, but while the whole Undisputed Kingdom hugged above him. And I did kind of think, like, what am I supposed to feel something about this? Was the idea that in this moment I would be experiencing a feeling? Because I'm not.
I know. The only time I experienced a feeling really in this whole storyline was at least the recent iteration of it was MJF did yell in this match something like, I never cared about you or something in this furious and humiliated way. And I was like, oh, I'm interested. And then, of course, we pivoted right away from that into some nonsense I don't give a shit about.
Yeah. And then, as we mentioned earlier, MJF had a promo on Dynamite this week where he was like, I miss my big, beautiful belt. I wish I had that belt again. Mox has the belt in a briefcase, which I don't understand. Yeah. Is the belt like missing? What's going on? Why is it in the, what is this something religious zealots do? They just love putting things in boxes.
It got stolen outside a steakhouse and they're trying to cover while it's being recreated.
It's really, it's a little strange to me. But anyway, MJF was like, I don't have a problem with you, John. I just want my championship back. So as we said earlier, I guess he's throwing his, maybe he'll
cram
have
him in there.
He doesn't have any friends though. I was like, I guess he could fight with Cope. That would be fine. I'm just thinking of people who are going to be in proximity now. Where are my action figures on the board at this point? Who can I pair off to get them away from, to get them out of that room where they're all trapped, the title room?
If anyone doesn't need to be in the title scene right now, it's MJF. It's just crazy. I was just like, what's happening?
I'm like, please, people are upset enough. We can't have a specter of a surprise MJF reign over us.
Were you guys surprised that he won? I was legit shocked.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy.
Didn't think he was.
It's so stupid.
Well, I think it's just so strange too, though, because I know they want me to I know they want me to forget that Adam Cole was the villain and then came back as the hero, but I can't. I can't forget it. So I'm kind of like, the bad guy did win.
Yeah.
You know that, right? You guys know the bad guy won.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that they do. It's like, I genuinely do think that they came out to save Swerve because they're like, and everybody agrees that we're the faces.
No. Yeah, crazy. They really lost the plot in like every possible way in this storyline.
I just think you guys need to sit down with a whiteboard and you need to whiteboard it and just look at it, okay? And just really, you can't, when you're looking at it, it can't, pieces can't slip away from you. Because that's how you start to say, like, this does make sense. And then later it turns out you just lost pieces in the middle. And listen, it's happened to me. Just put it on the whiteboard so you can see it and you can't forget why it doesn't make sense. Or just move on to a new storyline, I guess, and we'll all try to memory hole this if we can. Okay, and then I think our final little topic here is just that Jeff Jarrett fought QT Marshall in the PPV pre-show that some of us didn't see. And I guess it made him be like, should I retire? Which I think is a pretty crazy thought to have after a QT Marshall match. You're just like, wow, should this be my last match ever?
But maybe this is what my career has come to. Should I just put it to bed?
Okay, yeah, okay, and you made it work. So then on Dynamite this week, we had a backstage segment where Jeff Jarrett's faction, who I felt quite fond of in the moment, to be perfectly honest, were just being like, Jeff, you don't want to do this. And Jeff was being like, who knows what I want to do? Jeff Jarrett is always thinking things and deciding whether or not to do them. And his wife came and she was giving him advice on what to do or not to do. And he said, old Jeff Jarrett will figure it out. And he went out into the ring and he brought his boots to the ring.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen for many years. Mm-hmm. When was the last time we saw those boots, girls?
Maybe Cody.
I think it was Cody. I think
good
it was Cody.
Tody Rhodes.
Tody? So he came out with the boots and he got this promo. You know, you just got to laugh. Where he was like, I don't know. He was just like, let old Papa Jarrett tell you about a couple things that happened to him in his life. And these are the times when he took the initiative to get the job done when you thought he might have given up. And then he kind of was writing a little bit of a college application essay about it.
Yeah. You could see the paragraphs like happening. And I was like, who thought this was a good idea? Why does he have so much time to do it? What is the point? What are we coming to?
I was kind of interested to find out that his family is a wrestling family because his grandmother took a second job selling wrestling tickets, which really just is a cautionary tale. I think, like, be careful what kind of secondary job you might take because it might send your whole, your, you know,
look,
descendants
look what could be
in
happening.
Quite a direction.
Wow, you're right, Anne. It wasn't, you know, I didn't have, like, I don't have an aggressive, like, objection to it. It's just more comic bemusement of, like, why was this going on? Because, of course, at the end, and I gather this is what happens every time a man brings his boots into the ring. Jeff Jarrett said, I will not be retiring. I have signed a new contract.
The way to really swerve me and like to zigzag, like to surprise me, is to bring your damn boots out and then actually retire. Because I've never seen anyone
never
do
seen it.
It.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we will someday, girls. Because remember, we thought we would never see a man go on out on his back, and then we saw it twice in the same year. So maybe.
Sorry, Taylor.
Dustin, please. Dustin, please come. Please. Dustin, if you
come
can.
Back.
You if you can hear us right now, I hope you can't. But if you can, maybe someone will just tell you. Just tell us what about your surgery, please.
Did you get it?
Did
we were
going to
ask
surgery,
the Young
please?
Bucks and then we forgot, Dustin.
We were too scared.
How degrading was it that we asked for nice things
know.
About the Young about best friends? And Nick said, Osi is so talented. And Trent is so fun to be around. And I know Chuck Taylor. I've met him.
He's the pin eater even when you ask for nice stories.
I wish there'd been a way to the time or at just any way at all to break back in and say, sorry, you just used to Chuck Taylor. That's the love of our lives. Can we just double
just
back
can we go
on
in
him?
A little bit more depth?
That's the one we ever, love the most.
Has he ever done anything fun? No.
He was so quick. He was like, he told such a detailed story about OC and a detailed story about Trent. And then he said, and I've known Chuck Taylor a long time, almost as long as I've known Bryce.
And then he said more about Bryce, just about.
And he was like, and Chikara was there. Okay.
You know, and hey, love you, Young Bucks. Love you, Dustin, Chuck Taylor. Hey, you could send us a story about yourself, about your surgery, and whether you've gotten it.
Yeah, Dustin, feel free to submit that. Our DMs are open.
Even if you're never going to wrestle again, we just like to know what your quality of life is like. And we want you to be happy whatever you do. But I wish that you would be happy with us again because we're – oh, actually, should we – no, we'll mention it next week. But we're – for reasons, we were rewatching some old stuff from, you know, AEW, the promotion we all watch. And when I was watching old Dustin Chuck Taylor skulking around the ring, smacking the ring and hanging out with his buddies, I thought, wow, is this what serotonin feels like? Is this what it feels like to get a shot of pure joy to your brain?
I was just to have it all.
It used to be good. Girls, do you remember when things were good?
We started saying to ourselves, wait a second, restore the feeling. Yeah, wait, that's right, actually. Restore the feeling. The feeling that got us into AEW in the first place, which was watching Dustin hang around ringside and sometimes take a pin. That's what got us here.
It's called BTE mailbag segments. It's called Dungeons and Dragons.
It's called a 12-man where Dustin is in the corner not doing anything.
Anyone have eyes on Dustin, we'd say.
Anyone have eyes on Dustin? But then, and then in the really early days, if you had eyes on Dustin, it was because he was having a little chitter-chatter with OC, neither of them doing anything.
Oh, my God.
OC just be lying there like, oh, hey, big guy.
Yeah. And then Dustin might carry OC out of the ring.
Yeah. We just carry him away. They spent in the middle of the match. They were saying, what do you want to get for dinner? Oh, I guess I could go for burgers. And then Dustin carries him away to the burger bar.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't even believe it was only like 16 months ago that we saw them at Wembley in front of 80,000 people.
It feels like it's been 10 years.
It sure does.
God, I hope his ankle's okay. I hope he got that surgery.
I need him back.
I need him. I'm going to die. I'm not well.
I know. Okay, I feel really scared because he tweeted, like, I retired on Rampage. And I was like, Dustin might have retired.
We're just
back.
Trying to do Zen breathing exercises like, worker's going to work. Worker's going to work. Okay, Carney. I see you. Anyway, so Jeff Jarrett's not retiring, I guess. You know, I just, once again, I think we're all just wondering, what are those old men getting up to back there?
Don't you think it's so funny, though, that people are like, you know, Bryan Danielson can't be the face of things. He's too old. And then it's like Mox gets the belt, and it's like, oh, no, Cope's coming. He's too old. And it's like, nope, now Jeff Jarrett's coming. Like, what are we doing?
It's a race towards death amongst these guys.
Ric Flair's going to come out and say, one last match.
Oh yeah. Let's get Arn Anderson back. Why don't we? Let's get Tully back.
Yeah, maybe they could stagger off the side of the ring.
We need an old, what is that, okay, what was that movie that came out where it was all the old action heroes playing, like, a kind of an aging army of action heroes together? It looked awful. And then they did one for women, and that looked a little better, but still pretty bad.
What was it called? I can't remember.
Called, like, the Cool Guys, or, like, the Untouchable Crew,
maybe,
or something.
Untouchables or something.
Maybe that's the angle for 2025, is if all of these old guys are back there seducing Tony anyway, let's just get it over with. Let's just round them all up, and we'll just do one big old guy
final
rush.
Push.
Get them, and they all get out there together, and they're like, we can do it together!
Retire them all at once. Send them all out on their backs at one time.
Mox is a gauntlet of Billy Gunn, Jeff Jarrett, and like he just fights them all, and as they go over the top rope, they have to be retired. That's it. That's the last thing for them.
What is the quote from Les Mis? The blood of the martyrs will water the meadows of France. That's what I want to see out there in the ring.
To be honest, I can picture Mox saying that in his current persona.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So then we'll just get him out of the way. Listen, guys, it'll just be one kind of tough but pretty funny year. and then it's smooth sailing from there on out. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, well, was there anything you wanted to talk about that we did not get a chance to talk about?
Hey, guys, remember that time we interviewed the Young Bucks? Dude, that was crazy.
The memory is not very clear because my adrenaline was so much.
I'm just, like, I just keep feeling so much relief because my biggest fear was that I was going to embarrass myself in a way that, like, I would have to conduct the rest of my life being and Matt Jackson heard me do this. But I didn't.
You didn't. There was so normal. We didn't even cut anything.
No.
I think, let's be really nice to ourselves here at the end. We were really stressed because we didn't want to do a bad job, okay?
Yeah.
And I kept saying, hey, guys, we are normal, pleasant, well-socialized women.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we can fuck up that bad. How yeah. bad could it be? And actually, I didn't believe myself as I was saying it. But look, it was great. Yeah. It honestly yeah. was great. And we really tried. And we asked stuff that we cared about. And we got answers that we cared about. And we got aggregated for dumb shit. And that's its own fun experience. And I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am too.
It's been quite a year.
We survived. We survived.
Crazy year.
Crazy year. We joined Social Suplex this week, first week of the year, 2024. And then we went out with the Young Bucks interview. So that
exactly
all of that was pretty
as intended. No, exactly what our plan was from yes. day one of this podcast. We thought someday we will join a network. And within a year, we will interview the Young Bucks.
Straight yeah. to the top, baby.
Yeah. This is the culmination of our goals.
Yeah. We were like, we'll get those.
Believe what our next goal is.
Now that we've gotten Fightful headlines, the world's our oyster.
My God, there's really some dummies out there, guys. Did you know this? It's awful. You get honestly. Aggregated. My goodness. People are saying stuff you think, it doesn't seem really nice to be you. It seems like it maybe absolutely sucks ass to be you.
No, it is. I mean, like, it's not like it's any of this was new, but, like, it's just so funny that, like, when I see things that I don't agree with on the internet or, like, I know isn't for me, I just simply carry on and do something else. And there are a lot of people on this internet who say, that's not for me. I'm going to be very mad about it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. So I think it's better not to be that way. And if you feel yourself being that way, just go talk to a friend. Okay. Or yeah. call a hotline. Or
I definitely think anybody who hated our interview made it to this part.
They're definitely still listening now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Ann.
I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Krorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have merch now, including gas station merch. I think someone tweeted at us and said it's fun that now there's more than a 0% chance of your gas station coming to be. I said, I don't think that's correct, but I love the energy. Thank you so much.
I love the idea that the Young Bucks started AEW and they might just now start our push for us.
Like, I don't know. Well, to be fair, we would give them absolute creative control.
Oh yeah.
We would.
They're not getting any pushback from us. We say, what you want to do on Pump One is your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get zero financial backing, but full creative control. So,
well, we'll have our
appealing.
We'll have our billions, actually. We're working on those billions. You can find that merch and much more at chop-tees.com. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. You can find us on our own feed. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where everyone was really, really nice to us this week and also said some really, really fun stuff about Hangman. So go check that out. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. My God, you must stay frosty. And as always, please come back next week.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.